Good evening to all the listeners of Radio Free Voices. This is your host, Abid Abbasi, broadcasting from my studio in Pakistan. It's a pleasure to be back. I regret the delay, but it's been a few weeks, primarily because I was traveling to the north of Pakistan. Wonderful places. Once there, I did come across an idea that I can also shed some light on the places, their historical perspective, their up to various civilizations and things. And definitely, we will someday add this to our menu as well. Anyhow, it's 15th of August, and like always, we have a lot on our hand that we would try to cover today. And primarily, what interested me was a recent development in the Middle East, and it pertained to United Arab Emirates, UAE, opening up diplomatic ties with the state of Israel. We will see. We will try to weigh it in the perspective of the decision. And toward the second part of the podcast, we will be covering the Gaza incursion of 2008 and 2009, that was by the state of Israel, IDF, Israel Defense Forces, against Hamas, and we will be discussing it in detail. And that's because I tried to link what's happening today in terms of the Middle East opening up to Israel, and some historical background of how to see this development. Well, primarily, states, they are there to decide about their interest, about what is good for them, what is the right thing to do. And UAE opening up to Israel, it's all right, it's understandable. We agree with that. But if you come across thing that this development will lead the way to the promised land to the Palestinians, or it will open the way towards the prosperity of the Palestinians, it just gives me an awkward feeling. Why not straight away relate it to the national interest, the crude national interest that every state, as per the realist approach, had to follow? Why still wrap it up in a smoke screen, as if something is done in the broader perspective of humanity or justice or presumed prosperity or peace in the region? It is nothing like it. With due respect, the decision makers in UAE, they have simply ignored what would have been taken into account. They are, when you talk about GCC, Gulf Council for Cooperation, or otherwise, in terms of their strategic position in the Middle East landscape, this means a lot. This means a lot. Israel has been on a proper offensive against humanity. It's not about the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine, but it has been on an offensive against humanity for well over half a century. All right, there is no lesson that has been learned from all the atrocities that have happened, which by any means compels a state like UAE to open its door to Israel. It is what I can honestly say is an appeasement of the oppressor by all means. They have simply closed their eyes to what things have been imposed on the people of Gaza, the biggest cage in the world, the unjustified blockade, not ruled by any forum like UN, resolutions after resolutions, killings of civilians, use of most sophisticated, unimaginable force against people who could hardly fight, at most what they use is homemade rockets, and no one is going to from this forum. There is no support for any violence if it happens from the Palestinian side or Gaza. But how would you foresee a population which is being strangled, which has been uprooted from its roots, which has been displaced, its population, its children slaughtered in broad daylight, with the world media being curtailed, being blocked, reporters being targeted, the peace activists, the paramedics, they have been targeted in broad daylight. Can anybody forget that? And just turning a blind eye to this, you open yourself for diplomatic relation with the country which is an aggressor, which has blood of thousands and thousands of civilians on its hand, with the pretext that we will work for peace. No, sir, this doesn't happen. You have, by all means, as per my very little opinion, that weighs very little, you have given them a license to further tighten the noose on the Palestinians, or already, it's a very harsh word, but if the world cares for endangered species like whales, like Bengal tigers or something like this, believe me, there is a movement which is required for an endangered nation, and that nation by any mean is not state of Israel or the people living in it. It is the people who used to live on that land, which has been through a great game taken away from them, when they have been left to the mercy of either die while struggling, while having nothing in your hand. The entire world has closed its eyes, and I still salute people all across the world who raise their voice. You log into any social media forum, you type Palestine, and you will see the comments coming from all over the world against the barbarianism, against the inhuman, unimaginable torture that is being imposed on the people of Palestine. Nobody sane will by any means support what happened to the helpless Jews during Second World War. No one from any religion, any race, any nation can even justify it. Forget about defending it. There is no justification, no logical explanation of why you will move to eradicate an entire existence of race from the face of the earth. It was absolute evil. However, what they are doing is, I'm forced to say, it is equal to what they have gone through. They were tortured, and instead of becoming a wall against torture, against cleansing of any human race, they have become the biggest contributor to that inhuman thing. This is very limited, I can say. And there is no justification that the field will be green after the tie is open. This will not happen. The injustice will get even more space. The aggressor will go an extra length because now it has got validation. The steal of the century, which is the deal of the century by Jared Kushner and his advisors and his sympathizer and Middle East. It is simply like putting money into the bowl and telling them actually you were fighting not for land, not for some faith, not for some justified reason, but for money. So we will empower you economically and you will forget everything, like your sisters, your brothers who were raped, who were killed. It was nothing. They were like, they were insured. You get the insurance premium, you can walk away. You don't need to follow the course of justice. This is exactly what that deal is, if you see it from a different lens. I wonder what future has for it. Anything can happen. I mean, the way Palestinians are, they are extinct. I already compared it with, unfortunately, I had to compare it with the endangered species. But that's what it is. If things go on like this, it won't be long. There won't be any Palestinian. Even if they will be there, they will be equal to nothing. They will be either refugees, they will either be unseeable, they won't be reported. There will be nothing. They've already shrunk around 60% the way they were prior to the Balfour Agreement. They've already gone. They're already into what I can say, they're into extinction. And if endorsement like these keep falling into the lap of the aggressor, which is the state of Israel, it is not the people of Israel, it is the state of Israel, which has created a sense of fear among its people, as if they are being targeted, they are being followed. And for this, the only thing is relentless war with the enemies. I wonder where the civilization has landed after 20 centuries of what we see as our history. And even before that, if it is the continuous warfare for survival, why do we call it even a civilized world? What was the Renaissance for? What was the International System of Justice or League of Nations or UN for? Or what was the Treaty of Westphalia and the order after that of a national state, of a system, of international law? If a state feels that continuous, unending warfare is the only way to survival, that is illusion. That is all a smokescreen that they are feeding their population. This is what they are doing, and there cannot be peace, there cannot be prosperity unless it is equal for everyone. This is a time-tested lesson, and in case of Palestine, this will be proven as well. It's regretful, very regretful on part of UAE. We still wish that sanity prevails, and not in the name of any religion, any race. You just need to be human. What is happening there by Israel to the people of Gaza, to the people of entire Palestine, this is not human. This is not human by any mean. This is barbarian. This is barbaric. This is evil. They are dying by every second. They are made to die through blockade, through restriction of their movement, through occupying their places, through settlers who invade as if it is 12th century, 11th century in the region. They hit the children with their cars. They shoot them for wandering into their own lands, which they claim now it is there without any justification. And they set their fields on fire. They hardly have anything to eat, and their fields, their agriculture is taken away. And what a shame They label their agriculture produce as if it is coming from the Palestinian land. Yes, there is an entire documentary stating that how agriculture machinery of Israel is deceiving the entire world by mixing its produce, labeling its produce as coming from Palestine. This is the worst of human existence which is happening. There is no other name to it. And here we will end our first part. That was the development of so-called peace in the Middle East. That's enough for this story. And now we will move to the Gaza war that was happened in December 2008 and was till January 2009 before a ceasefire that prevailed. And it wasn't that simple. If you see, 1417 Palestinian, as per record, they lost their lives. On Israeli side, 13 Israelis, 1417 Palestinians. In terms of injuries, 5303 Palestinians and 518 Israelis, they were injured. In all, 2 billion of infrastructure damage was caused to Gaza by this incursion, by this conflict by Israel, and 4,000 homes were destroyed in this entire episode. And let's move to a little profile. I'm not going into the history. It requires an army of episodes just to narrate what this piece of land has gone through. So we will restrict ourselves to the near past, and we start with 2004. That's when the long-term leader of the Palestinian nation, the Palestinian state, Yasser Arafat, he died, and he was succeeded by Mahmoud Abbas, who went on to sign a ceasefire with the state of Israel in 2005. It was February, and Israel was led by the famous Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. We will come to it. We will definitely come to it. And he and Mahmoud Abbas, they signed a ceasefire, which was accepted by various factions that were part of the Palestinian resistance, and Hamas, one of the most prominent group now, because it controlled Gaza. It was also part of that agreement, and it was agreed that things will move toward betterment. But that wasn't the case. Post 2005, it was decided that Israel's blockade, without any international validation of the Gaza territory, the airspace, the territorial waters, this by Israel will be looked into. They will be eased, and the movement of goods, the basic goods like clothes, agriculture, building material, that will be allowed. And that was the content of it. And this entire blockade which Israel has of Gaza and the Palestinian land, including West Bank, in 2005 and later on, its findings, United Nations, International Criminal Court, International Court of Justice, Human Rights Watch, they all have, by all declaration, clearly stated that Israel is an occupying power, because the blockade it has of the Palestinian land is totally unjustified. There is no logic to it, and for that it is not validated. It is unjust. Now what was happening prior to the ceasefire was that I mentioned home-based rocket. This forum condemns violation by any party any participant in any form. There is no justification to any violence or any life lost, alright? However, this peace deal was broken by the quartet, and it comprised of four main parties: the United States of America, Russia, United Nations, and EU. That was ensuring the ceasefire between Mahmoud Abbas and Ariel Sharon, it was intended that actually it will pave the way for a lasting peace. Now, some events that really surprised these active wars in 2006, the elections that were held in Gaza, Hamas totally rooted the previously dominant party. Mostly it is the Fatah party of Yasser Arafat, and the reason was that the population of Palestine, Gaza, and even the West Bank, they were suffering by every passing day. The ceasefire only secured the interest of the Israelis. There were no rockets being fired from their side into Israel. However, as the blockade was removed just as a show-off, and its impact never trickled down, and for that, the hunger, the desperation, it drove the people to vote for the resistance movement that was Hamas. So in 2006, as a surprise to everyone which was involved, the Hamas came into power, and that was a big surprise. So although they have won democratically, and they have given the surety of non-violence unless war is imposed on them, the entire guarantors like US, Russia, UN, and EU, they demand that Hamas primarily recognize the state of Israel. Now, this is, even if somebody has gone through the existence of Hamas or the Palestinian movement, by accepting state of Israel, now the issue comes, what about the territorial boundaries? These boundaries, in 1919 there wasn't a boundary, in 1948 it becomes a boundary, and by 1967 it is the entire area. There is hardly anything left. The boundary has gone so far that the other regions which were there, they have totally disappeared, or it is somehow negligible by all means. So accepting Israel in this form, that's a very tough equation for any party which operates inside Palestine, and asking them to do this, it was like the end of the road for Hamas if they accept this. And the other was to ensure that no rockets, the homemade rockets, they are called Al-Qassam rockets, they are not fired into Israel, and in return Israel will ease the blockade which was there and will allow the economic activities and the humanitarian activities to resume. However, now comes a very interesting stat that as Hamas came into power, it grew, developed a lot of anger from the local population, which basically questioned the ceasefire between them, and it was because the fruits were not coming, there was no movement of the goods as promised, and the people's desperation was rising day by day. There were internal conflicts between Hamas and Fatah, and it was quite a serious affair. And Israelis on their side, they started referring to the tunnels, the network of tunnels that were dug, as if they were supplying arms. And on the other hand, the Palestinians, they used to refer to the blockade, as they had no option but to smuggle the basic necessities like food, medicine through these tunnels. So a stat is in front of you that from 2005 till 2007, that's 1 year of Hamas rule on Gaza as well, a total of 2700 locally made rockets, they were fired from Gaza into Israeli border towns. In return, or during that time, 14,600 shells, military grade, were fired by Israel into Gaza and surrounding areas. In terms of casualty, 116 Israelis, they lost their life to these rocket attacks, while for Palestinian it is a total of 1,735. Now, by March 2007, Israel was desperate to uproot Hamas from Gaza, and by all documentation, the plans were already in place for a all-out invasion into Gaza to make sure that Hamas infrastructure, its members, they are wiped out, and in return Gaza is given to an actor which is more acceptable, which is not so resistive, and they can easily go through with them. So it was this time things really got out of control. Many neutral observers, they shared their insight by claiming that Hamas, under its rule, ensured 97% compliance as per the peace agreement, as compared to Israelis lifting around 27% of the sanctions imposed on the movement. So the balance of effort is 97 to 27. That's what it refers to. And by June, UN started recording June 2008 violations by IDF, and they were, with reference to the farmers working in the field, they were being shot. The fishermen which were venturing into the sea to bring seafood for the local population, and people picking firewood, they all were subjected to very, very accurate. Israel is one of the most equipped country in terms of military gear, cutting edge technology, and these Palestinians were shot. And now this was seen as a very tough situation for Hamas to handle its population, as its own people were falling down. And then Israel sent bulldozers in the nearby towns, and they were basically uprooting the population. Ayn Bickerton, renowned historian, that Israeli non-compliance to the peace agreement itself was the biggest contributor to the unrest in Gaza, and on that it was becoming nearly impossible for Hamas to settle its population with the dream of a bright future coming out of Israel's unfulfilled commitment. Carter Center also revealed that Hamas was compliant 97%, while Israel only eased the restriction by 27%. And the list goes on of people questioning the way Israel was implementing the peace plan. Now, in these events, on 4 November 2008, Israel launched a ground offensive, and this operation was called Operation Double Challenge, and it was aimed at tunnel structure that was inside Gaza, and it has been beautifully dissected by
famous platforms like the Telegraph, even Israel's own health newspaper, they said that the attack was launched owing to an imminent danger, and that was that the tunnel was made by the Hamas, and the intent was to kidnap Israeli soldiers. While those who questioned this said that if the tunnel was an imminent threat, it must have an opening toward Israel. So why wasn't it targeted within Israel? If it was an imminent threat, the tunnel had to be inside Israel. That wasn't done, and there's no justification for it. And even more to this thing is that by not going for the venture on their own land, they went out for an assault inside Gaza, which sealed the fate for the ceasefire that was there since last 6 months or so, brokered by the Egyptians. And even on that, it has said that actually it was in preparation that the Israelis struck that peace deal and the ceasefire, and it was aimed at uprooting Hamas internally, either through a coup, a turnaround within Palestinian various factions supporting them against Hamas, or through a ground invasion, whatever was it. So this is the logic which was given, and that raid then it opened an entire barrage of attacks from both sides. Of course, the highest top end technology coming from Israel, and the medieval rockets made at home being fired from the Palestinians. Anyhow, as I keep repeating, violence by any party is neither supported, neither endorsed from this forum, and for that the same goes for this episode. Now, on 27 December 2008, Operation Cast Leaf was launched, and just to tell you what Palestinians were up against, in 220 seconds, which is less than 4 minutes, up to 100 strategic value targets of Hamas and Gaza administration were struck, and in 30 minutes later, the second wave was launched, and they all were using top of the line technology, and it was unimaginable the way Israelis were striking. Human Rights Watch it questioned the timing of the first attack, saying it was exactly at a time when the children left the school that the attack initiated from the side of Israel, and it clearly shows that there was no consideration of collateral damage. Israeli used bombs which were under various categories. 2,000 pound bombs were also dropped in the pretext of destroying the tunnel structure, followed by 1,500 pounds bombs they always used. And towards the end, when this episode ended, total of 85% of the casualties, which were around 1,400 as discussed earlier, 85% of its victims were unarmed civilians. They were not militants or member of Hamas or any other sister group, they were civilians. Out of this, 926, 288 were children, and another 103 women were also killed in this operation, and they all were non-combatants. And one thing that the international media present at Gaza in a very limited numbers, they were struck the tower where up to 18 to 20 international media outlets were operating from, it was struck, and it was aimed at telling the media across the globe to follow the line of the Israeli state instead of reporting fairly from the Gaza Strip. Anyhow, this is one thing which is important that I wanted to share, that in 2008 this episode was recorded right in front of us, and against the helpless Palestinians who were fighting for survival, the most advanced military gear was used, and they were totally wiped out in terms of their presence, infrastructure up to 2 billion, and even leaders' homes were struck while they were with their families. Hospitals were struck, and media outlets were struck, schools were struck, and there was as if it was done to wipe out everything that was under the radar from the Palestinian side. And this brings me to the conclusion of today's episode. We will be looking into various other events in the Middle East, also around the world. From the past, I was planning an episode, maybe the next one, on a few events, notable events from the Vietnam War, which initially the French and then the Americans took over. They were fighting against the communist fighters in Vietnam, supported by, at that time, USSR and other members of the bloc. And we will be looking into a few documented events that are very, very tragic, gruesome, and we will be discussing them. And also Palestinians, we will be visiting other events from their history, where Israel has totally disrespected all the norms of the warfare, of the international laws, and has gone without any consideration for non-competence or the collateral damage. And one is this one, where the magnitude of losses from the Palestinian side were unimaginable. Anyhow, keep tuned to the podcast. We will be trying our best to make this interview short so you can get your dose of history, culture and values through this podcast. Till then, look after yourself, your loved ones, and be safe than sorry. And it's here from my end. I would like to sign off. See you very soon. Thank you. Best wishes.